This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Polykill Podcast. This is episode 45, and as always, we're your hosts. I am Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. Of the two of us, Jake, I'm more into the nostalgic. And did you know that the plural for Pikachu is Pikachu?
I didn't. That's interesting.
Yeah. I knew I'd get you. I finally got you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Something Pokemon related that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm Jake. I'm the other half of the podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the McAxel. And I tend to play newer games. And I will say that I've been playing a lot of fighting games lately. Been having a lot of fun with it.
That doesn't sound like you at all.
I know, but I like them. So get over it.
Cool. Well, that's good. You can find us together at Polykill on Twitter or at our website, polykill.com, or over on thecartridgeclub.org. That is short for organism.
Orgasm.
And this episode is really exciting because I have the pleasure and the absolute pleasure and honor of talking about Off Kilter 7 that we released last week.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We have guests. Introduce yourselves, Flock.
Hello, Polykill.
There it is.
There it is. I'm Miles from Flock of Nerds.
And I'm Catherine.
And we are on the YouTubes, youtube.com/flockofnerds, and on Twitter as well, right, Catherine?
It's true. All of that is true.
At Flock of Nerds.
And what do you guys do over there on the YouTubes? What are you up to?
We do, mostly just Let's Plays, and the only thing that we do very regularly is our Mario Mondays, mm-hmm. because it has a theme, so then we don't really have to decide which game to play. It's just it just has a Mario in it, so.
And there's enough of those, right?
I think so. I think that's probably why we went with them. It'll be a while before we run out of stuff to play on.
Yeah, well, thanks again for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you guys. Ever since we first started to get to know you within the club, we said these are some exciting folk, and your podcast is great that you do, Flock Talk Podcast, and so we're excited to have you here on our show as our second guest.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having us.
It's a real pleasure.
Yeah. Well, to recap, we will go ahead and recap a few things that the Polykill conglomerate shot out here over the last couple weeks. We did do an Off Kilter 7 where we talked restaurant stories. Now you, the Flock, you have a restaurant story that you neglected to share. What is that story?
Yeah, go ahead and share.
My restaurant story that I was going to share was that I had a job working in bars when I was younger, and we would run poker tournaments at bars, and I saw a comic book sitting on the table once, and it was a Brian Michael Bendis comic. So I grabbed it and I was like, whose comic is this? I love Brian Michael Bendis. And Catherine was like, oh, that's mine. I'm reading that.
Oh, yeah.
We started talking, and then that's the origins of Flock of Nerds.
That's very, cool. Very adorable, and also hilarious that Catherine didn't know where that story was going until the very end.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
Fantastic.
Well, awesome. Thanks for sharing that story. And in addition to the Off Kilter 7, I shot a blog out. I was on a caffeine high there, Jake. You know how I get.
Yeah.
I get wordy. I get typey. You know, I'm one to type.
Yeah, you shot out a hot blog wad.
Hot blog wad. Big old hot blog wad. Now, it was several words, and basically it just boiled down to a first-person comedy walkthrough of the original Castlevania that I think one person read, and he liked very much. Mark Grisby there on the Twitters. Yep. So thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
For,
I still haven't read it.
I didn't expect you to.
I'm awful.
And then one other comment that or announcement is our Just Beat It hashtag. You know, it's catching a little bit of traction. Yeah, it's catching on. And we just want to go ahead and let everybody know that if you use the hashtag Just Beat It
or Just Be A Tit,
either way,
it
will.
It.
Yes, it's spelled the same way. And it'll actually, we look for that hashtag and it'll tell us that you've beaten the game. So include that with a screenshot and we'll keep track of all your Polykills and we might announce them here on the show.
Yeah, boy.
So please do that. Now, we're going to move on quickly here to recent pickups and on the radar. Now, Jake, we never have anything in this during the summer, so it's
rare that we actually have something substantive to discuss in this section.
Yeah, so let's just scroll right through here and jump ahead to the next. Holy shit, look at all these games.
Oh, my God. What happened?
My God, did everybody just rob their own GameStop and EB Games?
I think so. I think we just all went on a haul here. So, Trav, why don't you go ahead and lead off with what you're picking?
Well, since I had a great few in comparison.
Somehow, yeah.
Well, I picked up Mega Man 4 there on the NES. You know, I have my Mega Man buddy Mickey.
Yeah.
4 is one we haven't played. Picked it up on the NES, ready to go with Mega Man 4. Also picked up State of Decay Year 1 Survival Edition, part of that Xbox One sale that you talked about last time.
Yeah.
I see, you know, people talk about it, people like it, why not?
Yeah.
You know, the second one
was what,
out.
$10, I think? Maybe?
I think it was $10.
$10? Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, that's a good deal. It's a good deal.
Pretty much worth it, right?
I'm super jealous that that's a Microsoft exclusive, because that one actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does. I played it a bit, have not extensively, but it's one of those games where it balances a few things, balances some action combat, balances some survival elements. It doesn't get overly cumbersome in terms of like having to eat every hour and track your caloric intake and all that. But it's pretty neatly designed game, a little buggy at times, but I really think the next one is going to be kind of a grand slam, so getting in now is a pretty good idea.
Now, do you suspect the first one and the second one will connect story-wise?
No.
You don't? Okay.
I think it's going to be the same world, obviously, but I don't, because there's not, I mean, there is a story to the first game, but it's sort of set up where, like, if a character that you're playing dies, you just take over as another character.
Oh, I see.
They never come back.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I didn't even know that about the game.
Yep.
Interesting. All right, cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, boy.
Then I also added The Witness for Xbox One. That's one of, you know, Jonathan Blow's old deals.
Yeah.
Real puzzler and adventure puzzle game. Mm-hmm. Very pretty. Stylistic.
Open world first person puzzle game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can imagine such a thing.
Yeah, he did, and he made it.
He did.
And it's good.
And then I also went to a rundown home in the neck of the woods of which we live and picked up a big old hot juicy lot of Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games. Have you ever picked up a Craigslist? Have you ever done a Craigslist thing, but you had to go to the person's house to do it?
Usually that's all I do on Craigslist.
Really? I try to meet in a... That's... Okay. Yeah, you're a filthy man. Yeah.
No. No, I'm not.
Well, I was invited over to the man's house for Game Boy games,
sure,
Jacob.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And in the yard, a lot of decapitated Barbies. It was strange.
Neat.
And no children. It was just a man's place.
That's fantastic.
But he did give me Game Boy games, and he was a consummate lover. So, Catherine, you have just a handful here. What games have you picked up here recently?
Oh, it's funny, because I didn't put any of these games on here, but Miles remembered all of the stuff that I bought. Okay. It looks like I have bought Demo.
What is Demo?
Broken Age. I don't even know what Demo is. I know it was a limited run game. It's actually waiting for me at the post office to pick up.
Oh, cool.
I was supposed to get it today, and I forgot. So Demo and Broken Age were both limited edition or limited run games.
Okay.
And Miles reminded me that I bought those. Then he also reminded me that I bought Mafia 3.
Jake,
I think it was a Best
recently,
Buy sale.
Okay, Best Buy sale. Okay. Yeah, I actually bought Mafia 3 a while ago.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I watched someone live stream it, and it looked interesting. I've never played any Mafia game.
The best part about the game, in my opinion, I mean, it's an open world game, and it's hard not to compare it to a Grand Theft Auto, right? Because it's that same DNA. But the best parts about it are the social issues it tackles, the setting, the music. You know, it's set in the 60s in kind of a faux New Orleans.
Racial tension. Yeah.
Like you're a Vietnam vet that comes back and shit's gone down. And the world is really cool. And it was a little buggy at launch, but I think they've patched it all to hell. So I think it should be in good shape for you when you start playing it.
Oh, okay. I have a feeling Miles is going to be the one that plays it.
Fair enough.
I also bought Horizon Zero Dong.
No dongs.
No dongs. I don't remember buying that one either.
Do you just get completely plastered and just go on game buying rants? Because that sounds like fun. We should live stream that.
Did you say gangbang rants?
No, I did not. I said game buying.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, that was also Best Buy was having a deal. I think all these games were like $30 or something, because the other one I got was the BioShock Collection.
Ah, that's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be fine. Have you played any of those?
I haven't played any BioShock. I think I started, I wanted to play them in order, and I started the first one on the PS3.
Yeah.
But now, I was kind of like, we love our PS4, so if I can get a game on PS4 and I haven't played it,
sure,
then I'd rather play it there. So I think that that's probably where I'm going to end up playing it.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah.
And now we can get rid of our other ones.
Perfect.
There is another item on here. It's a retro pie.
How did you come up with one of those? I am actually not responsible for that one.
Well, yeah, it's
not the only one who has access to them.
It's not a retro pie yet. I bought the Raspberry Pi kit.
Oh, okay.
I just bought it recently on the Amazon Prime Days.
Okay.
And then, but before I even bought the kit, I bought a shell for it through Etsy. I wish I knew the name of the guy. I should have, just so I could plug him. But there is if you look on Etsy and you just look up retro pie shells, there's a guy who makes them 3D printed. And the one that I got is in the shape of a Commodore 64.
Oh, that's cool. Very nice.
Yeah. So nice. That's like the first thing I ever remember playing any games on. I have two older sisters, and my dad got us all a Commodore 64 right when they came out, and that's where I played a lot of my early video games. So it was a lot more expensive than just getting something from like Amazon or something.
Sure,
but
yeah, well, that's really
Miles
cool.
Miles insisted that I get it though, because he said it'll mean something to you.
Yeah, for sure. And so, if you have any questions when putting that together, let me know. I have some experience.
I will have many questions. I'm enough. Sure.
Jake, what about you? Did you pick up any games?
Well, see, I kind of went on a tirade and a tear and made a bit of a statement. So I'll go ahead and preface this with saying that this was more of a churn than a straight pickup. So
I just want to go ahead and say, you did that 6-month thing where you didn't buy any games, and I feel like you've pretty much erased all that progress. You're down to the negative at this point. Like, you've made up for lost time.
Perhaps. With this past 2 weeks, for sure. I'll say this, though. So GameStop was having this trade-in bonus. I don't know if it made it to EB Games elsewhere or Game in Europe, but it was basically, so if you traded in 2 games, you got 20% more value for each game. If you traded in 4, you got 40% more. And 6 or more games, you got 60% more trade-in value per title. So that stacked up pretty quick. So I saw that, and I was like, well, let me just peruse my collection here. Let's see if there's anything that I just no longer require. Or maybe it's a game that I'm just holding on to for no other reason than I think I might play it again, and I won't. So I found 10 games that I had beaten in the past on disc. I was like, I'll just take these in, see what happens. Take them in, and I get $160 worth of GameStop credit.
You had 10. You haven't beaten 10 games on this show.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have. Come
okay.
on.
All right.
Come on.
Whatever.
So I take them in, and then they're also concurrently having a buy two, get one free on pre-owned games. So anyway, I ended up basically churning 10 games. Some of these were digital pickups from the Xbox Live sale that happened last week. So I'll go ahead and run through some of these pretty quickly. Picked up Rime,
which we'll talk about later.
The Last of Us Remastered needs no introduction. I've never finished the game. I played a little bit on PS3, so I'm excited to go back into PS4. Plus, it's remastered and has the little add-on Left Behind bit.
So it has like a little DLC with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Torment, Tides of Numenera.
Times of Numenera.
I got Ratchet & Clank. Adrift.
What is that?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Final Fantasy 15.
You'll never play it.
I already have.
Oh.
The Witness.
Mm-hmm.
Picked that up as well.
Samesies.
Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, and that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then I, with that trade-in value, also pre-ordered and completely paid off Destiny 2 for PS4.
Because you want that.
Because I so want that. As well as picking up Bravely Default.
Been
looking for that for a while. Found a CIB version at a GameStop, which is extremely rare.
Especially for the DS varieties.
Yeah, very rare. And this is a hard-to-come-by title, physical. Like, if you find it, it's $50-$60, no matter where you find it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you, like, you know, go through somebody on eBay, and then you pay that much in shipping. And then lastly, I bought Mortal Kombat X today.
That's part of your little fighting game pick, you know.
I was at my local Walmart, and I was walking through the games, and they're like, here's a used copy. A recertified used copy of Mortal Kombat X for $11. I was like,
might as well.
All right.
There you go.
I can do that.
Well, good
that
job.
That game
dude.
Is so much fun.
I'm excited. I love NetherRealm's fighting games.
You're really gonna enjoy it. I eventually got the XL version.
Sweet.
In a trade, so then I purged the X. But oh man, I love that game so much.
I'm really excited. Because I like I said, I love NetherRealm's fighting games. I looked at First Injustice, I like Mortal Kombat 9, because it was a fantastic story mode. So I'm really excited about this one too. So
yeah, story modes in fighting games are becoming a real thing, a really good thing.
They are.
Injustice being a prime
example. Justice 2, man. God, so good.
All right, Miles, speaking of being excited to hear what you got.
I didn't get anything this.
That's not true.
It's not,
you're lying.
It's not nearly true.
I just put a wish list of games that I hope people send to me. So I bought a lot. And we have a similar deal in Canada with EB Games.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the buy two used games, get one free.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then they have the old pull and play. Have you heard of the pull and play deal?
I mean, I know what that is on Craigslist, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, I know what that is at home.
I was like, why is the worst name for a thing?
It's
but
terrible.
If you spend $50 or more, you get a coupon that's like 15% off most of the time. But sometimes it could be like an extra 25% in for trade credit.
Okay.
Or like,
so it literally makes no sense to call it pull and play is what you're saying.
Well, it's a tab, so you pull it and then you play with it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So anyway, these are the games I got. Rayman Legends on the PS4. Had it on the Vita, and I didn't like the tilt control, so I wanted to try it on PS4.
I played that on Wii U. It's really good. At least I think that's the one I played on Wii U. It was on Wii U.
I think
Wii
it
U,
is
right?
Actually
okay, yeah.
The one you played on Wii U. I think yeah. It's the same one. But Pam keeps saying that Rayman is a better platformer than Mario. Pam from Media Mavens.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's see about that.
It's a little different. I mean, it's got a few quirks to it that make it unique.
I think I could almost agree with her on that. Almost. I nostalgia holds me back from committing fully, but Rayman is damn near pinnacle of platformers, in my opinion.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Catherine, we might have to do Rayman Friday? Something like that. Anyway, we also got Wolfenstein The New Order, Wolfenstein The Old Blood.
There you go. That's going to be a good little session or two. Or five.
Oh, yeah, I could talk more about that later.
Yeah, okay.
Walking Dead Season 3 New Frontier, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy.
That thing's been selling like hotcakes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a pre-order. I had this scheme with EB Games a few months ago, so that's part of the fruits of that labor.
Mm.
Ratchet & Clank. Sorry, did you want to say something?
No.
Nope.
We're good.
No, I can continue on with my list.
You can.
Please. We will cut you off again when we desire to.
Ratchet & Clank, River City Melee Battle Royale.
What is that? What is that?
What the fuck is that? River City Melee Battle Royale SP.
Is it based on the River City Ransom canon?
So it's a cheap game, but it's, I think, Asia only.
Oh.
But the Chinese version has English subtitles.
Oh.
Play it in English.
Okay. So I had to acquire that. Did you?
Was it import? Was it?
Well, there's a store by me that actually sells all the imports. So.
Toronto.
Neat.
Mm.
Yeah. It's only like an arena fighter, and I heard like maybe not so good things about it, but I love River City Ransom, so anytime they put out a game that's kind of like that, I need to grab it.
Sure. Makes sense. Understandable.
Also got Child of Light on the Vita. Heard good things about that.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate Shooter Collection for the Wii. I got it at EB Games for $1.99. That's like a $30 collection.
What is included in that? Is it just mini games?
Shooters, yeah.
Okay.
No, it's like arcade.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
I got a Hori Tekken 6 Fight Stick for the PS3.
Cool.
But it also works with PC or RetroPie.
Very nice.
And I want to play those arcade games that are backups to the real arcades. Disgaea 3 on the Vita, Sniper Elite 3 on the PS4, Tales of Zestiria on the PS4, Zombie Vikings. League of Worlds, Star Ocean, Integrity and Faithfulness, Torment, Tides of Numa Numa, Evil Within.
What is Tales of Zestiria?
It's part of the Tales series.
Oh, okay. So, like, yeah, okay. I got you.
Yeah, it's one of the cooler JRPG series because it has a fighting a combat system that's actually a little more accessible for most folks.
And what is Zombie Vikings? That's the last one I'm curious about.
It's literally that. Beat 'em up.
Oh.
They made another game that company did. It was pretty funny. I don't remember the name of the game. But it was that same sort of papercraft cardboard 2D platformer. It was pretty funny. I don't know if you guys have played it. I opened my mouth before I knew what the game that I was talking about was. So I'm going to Google it real quick and see what I can find out.
All right, we'll get back to
us. I will mention just now that those last 9 games, he purchased all of those today.
Holy
He found another EB deal, I think.
Yeah, well, it was the buy 2, get 1 free. But when I went into the store, I asked them for Vita games, and they kept their Vita games under the counter because they didn't have them on display. They're like, we have 9. Hmm. So I went through their Vita games, and one was sealed with a recycled sticker. And I was like, why is this recycled if it's sealed? And they were like, head office sends us sealed games sometimes and asks us to mark them as recycled for the recycled price. So then I was like, do you have any PS4 games like that? And they were like, oh, we just got a bunch. And I was like, I will grab all these sealed ones.
Yeah.
That's really cool, yeah. So yeah, you definitely maximized there. Good job.
Stick It to the Man. That was the other game I was thinking about that company made. That was a fun game and funny. I enjoyed it.
I thought you were talking about EB Games.
Yeah, Stick It to the Man, Miles.
Miles.
I was like, yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah. All right, games on our radar. I have a couple, neither of which I have the system for, except I can play Orcs Must Die on Windows, because it came out in April, I believe, on the Computadora. But I really love Orcs Must Die. This is Orcs Must Die Unchained. There's a new version of it. It comes out July 18th on the PS4. And then even though I don't have a Switch, and I don't really care about Splatoon, none of the rest of us were going to mention it, so I thought it was worth mentioning that it does come out July 21st on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. I think it's beta the weekend past.
Yeah.
So, which is the weekend ahead at this point, but when you're listening, it'll be the weekend past.
Yeah. Catherine, do you have anything on your radar?
I did put one game on there. I saw a title called Yonder, The Cloud Catcher Chronicles, and I watched a trailer for it, and I don't know if it's for everyone, but it really felt like something I would enjoy, because it's kind of like, we played a little bit of WoW. We played it for a few years or whatever, but we were not like hardcore WoW players. Like, we didn't raid or anything like that. Gotcha. And the stuff that I liked doing in there was basically all the crafting, all the profession stuff. So I was a quest leveler, but all the stuff that I did was just like, I leveled up all my mining and everything you could do. I would spend all my time doing that. And that's a lot of what Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles looks like. There's like no combat in it, and it's just like cute little like chibi animations, and I don't even really know the story. I just know you go around and you like collect sticks for people and fix their roofs.
Okay.
and it's looks kind of open worldish, but it's the kind of thing that I would really like, where it's just like, how can I help you? Okay, I'll go get some cloth and sew you something. I don't know exactly what the game's going to be
like. I'm just looking it up. Rock Paper Shotgun said it looks like a bit Zelda and a bit Stardew Valley. So that
he kind of looks like Wind Waker.
Okay.
Like the way that kind of animation.
See, I also enjoy those kind of, I mean, I enjoy Stardew Valley, right? There's no huge thing to Stardew Valley. You just kind of do your chores. You do what you need to do. You go out and collect stuff. You go out and mine. You water your crops. You try to get first place in the crop contest every year. It's just fun.
Sounds like a happy time.
It does sound good. It reminds me, I think there's a game for 3DS. I think it's just downloadable only. But you are a blacksmith for the adventurers in the bigger world.
And that sounds like fun.
All you do is just like make weapons for these people.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool.
Taking orders and building stuff custom.
Getting the materials to make these adventurers their swords. It's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, well, that comes out July 18th on PS4 and Windows.
Yeah, I will be looking into that more, because that seems like a fun, relaxing time.
Yeah. Jake, what do you got on your radar?
On my radar is a game called Pyre.
Hmm.
And this is from Supergiant Games, who made two of the better games of the last 10 years, in my opinion, in Bastion and Transistor.
Oh, right.
It's a bit of a departure for them, because this is going to be more of a party-based RPG, from what I can tell, where, you know, Bastion was just kind of an isometric adventure game with some combat. Transistor had RPG elements. This looks to be a little more in-depth RPG-wise. I don't think it's like a hardcore-style RPG, but it looks great, and they've just made nothing but quality content. So I'm pretty excited to get my hands on that in a few weeks. So we'll see how that goes.
Cool. And Miles, if you can, you know, fit any more games in your house and spend any more money after this past few weeks, is there anything in the next 2 weeks that's on your radar?
Switch has been on my radar for a while, but every time I go into EB Games, they're like, we don't have any. And I was like, fine, I'll just take all of your games.
Stick it to the man.
Exactly.
Well, let's find out what happened. What was that? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, we definitely need another system for Miles to buy games for.
I already bought all the games in the other systems.
I mean, how can you have Mario Monday without Mario Odyssey coming out? So
damn right.
That's what we're waiting. Well, that's what I thought we were waiting for. One day, Miles sent me a text and was just like, I've been looking everywhere for like a Nintendo Switch. Like we were going to meet to go out, and I was like, you were just going to buy a Nintendo Switch? Like, the only thing that stopped him was that he just couldn't find one in the stores. Like, we hadn't talked about getting one. The plan was always to wait for Mario Odyssey.
Right.
But he changes the plan sometimes.
Yeah, so Miles.
We're having a fight right now.
This is our big fight.
Well, while you guys have at it, we'll talk about what happened last episode.
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, Trav knocks two classics out his backlog by getting credits on Super Mario Bros. 2 and Mega Man 6. Jake doesn't beat Dick, but does have something to say about the SNES Mini and the Xbox Summer Sale. Tired of the usual E3 conversations, the fellas highlight games that flew under the radar during the summer's premier gaming expo for the topic of discussion.
All right, Jake, so that's what happened last episode. Ooh. Now it's time for the Hot Jakes. Hit that Hot Jake music. This time on this week, I don't fucking know. This episode on Hot Jakes, Oculus Rift price down to $399 includes touch controller.
It's raining sideways.
Doomfist on Overwatch.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. Sorry. I haven't seen his voice lines yet. Sorry, I wrestled away.
This is great. Summer Games Done Quick 2017.
Man, that was fast.
Castlevania Season 1 review.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You don't have a Castlevania sound
effect?
I don't.
I mean, I don't know. A whip sound?
Bloody tears.
Bloody tears.
Dracula. Okay, you could say anything. You could have done anything.
Dracula.
Okay, thank you.
I said Dracula.
All right, kill the Hot Jakes music. Dumb. Jesus Christ. Okay. Oculus Rift price down to $399 includes touch controllers. Why is that important?
I think it's interesting what was going on with VR right now, because I feel like it's cooling a little bit. And I think this is probably... And I could be wrong. It could just be my perception and kind of where I stick my nose. But I don't know if it's a brand recognition thing, or if it's trying to get the technology out there, or if people are worried about the Oculus face, as it were. But, you know, obviously this is a Facebook move, because they own Oculus, so they're probably the ones in charge of making the price cut. But, I mean, at $399... that's definitely more affordable, as well as including the touch controllers. It's kind of a big deal. So I think it's good for the technology and good for consumers. And obviously the greater the install base, the more chances of developers being interested in creating games for that space. But I do think it's worth mentioning this week that is something that is happening. And it makes me wonder, you know, if maybe a Gen 2 isn't, you know, not too far out, because
I think so,
because usually when you see price cuts on hardware like that, that usually means there's a revision in the works. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something soonish or heard an announcement or something.
Yeah. Flockers, are you interested at all in the VR scene?
We considered getting the PlayStation VR. Miles tried it out at Fan Expo, which is like just a local, you know, fantasy everything kind of expo. and really liked it, and he thought he was going to be like day one VR, but then the price point came out and we're like, I don't think we should be day one VR. I've never tried it though, so
you never
I
know he might come know. Home with one and a Switch one day. You never know,
one under each arm.
Yep.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Last Christmas, remember, I was like, wouldn't it be crazy if I came home with a VR just to test the waters? You know how you do?
Yeah.
And Catherine's like, just don't do it.
Just, I don't want to see what happens. Yeah.
It feels very like I feel like I would enjoy it maybe for the first couple weeks or something, and then I just don't know how much it would hold my interest.
Yeah. So. That's been my, like, I don't have any VR gear, but I know several people that do, and that's almost the case with everybody, is that there is a novelty factor, but that decays fairly quickly, because, you know, they'll be like, yeah, I've got a, you know, $500-$600 VR headset sitting over there, but, you know, they're on their Xbox or playing, you know, something on a PC that's not VR related, and I'm kind of afraid that it's just going to be novelty. And the thing with VR is the point that you kind of made there, Catherine, is that you do have to try it. You have to experience it to understand its value, and it's hard for people to do that. So I think that's always going to be the problem with VR to the mass market, is getting people in those headsets so they can realize how cool it is, but then keeping them invested is the difficult part.
Yeah, I just also think the barrier to entry is the price, right?
Yeah.
So it's as much as getting a PlayStation. Yep. So if you don't have PS, like a PS4, and you want to play PSVR,
yeah, you're looking at you're
dropping
$1,000.
Like over a grand, right? So yep. I don't know. We don't have $1,000 just like, lying around. So
would you rather just spend that money on a Switch?
You did last week, and then Miles bought 23 games.
Somebody stick it into the main.
Yeah. We almost had $1,000.
But yeah, I'll just wrap it up by saying I think the price drop is good for the future of VR if there is a Gen 2 coming, if it increases the adoption rate of the hardware. I think it's a good thing, but we'll have to see if everybody else, PS4 and Vive, follow suit and drop some prices and release some.
Do you think do you think it's like a Hail Mary though? Like, this is the last thing we can do to try to get people in, and then if it doesn't work, that maybe that's the end of VR?
That thought crossed my mind, to be honest. I don't think we're that dire yet to say it's a Hail Mary, but I definitely think it's a third and long play. you know, it's not desperation yet, but it's sort of like, let's sort of like throw this against the wall and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's my perception of it.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to see what happens.
I agree.
Just to see. All right, so we'll move on to Doomfist on Overwatch. Take it away, those of you who play Overwatch.
Yeah, so this is pretty damn exciting. For those of you who don't know, and I'm assuming that it's at least Travis. Doomfist, okay, so the initial trailer for Overwatch, the very first, if I recall, the very first name that you hear about the Overwatch lore from these little two kids that are walking through this museum is Doomfist. They see his gauntlet in a museum, and they're like, ooh, that's Doomfist's gauntlet. And then there's this big fight over it, and there's just been lots of little lore bits dropped over the last year and a half, basically, you know, even before the game was released, about who this guy was. And every time that there's been sort of like a news announcement or like a lore bit dropped on the forums or the Blizzard website, everyone's like, it's Doomfist. It's got to be Doomfist. So far it hasn't. And then this just almost shadow dropped onto the public test realm. It was kind of like, hey, by the way, Doomfist is up. And everybody's like, oh my God. So everyone freaked out. But he's like the first true villain, I guess you could say, in the Overwatch lore. Everyone else sort of either flip-flopped or was a little bit gray to begin with, but he's like a real scary guy.
Yeah.
So, pretty excited. His move set seems pretty sweet. Miles, Catherine, have you guys looked at any of the footage of him on PTR or anything like that, seeing what his move sets are?
I watched a few people live streaming it. And he's really big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And,
he's not a tank, though, is
no,
he?
No, he's just DPS or
he's
like offense.
Or,
yeah. He's offense.
Yeah.
He's got the same amount of hit points as Reaper, but he can do things mobility-wise that Reaper cannot. Like
he can fly into the air and stuff.
Do like a meteor strike, which is like he just zips up out of the screen and then just flies down and has this big AOE like attack. He can charge through shields, like. He's very melee based, so I mean he does have a shotgun in the knuckles of his left hand, but that's more of like a supplementary thing. It's not his primary attack. So I'm pretty excited to play Doomfist. I think it'll just shake up the whole team comp thing pretty drastically.
Well, it's been pretty interesting listening to you talk about Overwatch, Jake, because. We used to play Overwatch together.
I know.
You were like, hey, let's play some Overwatch and we'll be best friends and we'll be PlayStation friends. And I was like, yes, this is what I've always wanted.
I'm so sorry.
And then what happened, Jake?
Listen to a Cartridge Club podcast and they were saying that they all play Overwatch on the Xbox. And they're like, yeah, and Jake from Polykill, he joined us too, huh? It's pretty good. And all of a sudden I stopped seeing you online.
It's true. I didn't turn on my PS4 for a while.
You've had your turn to talk, sir. You have had your turn to talk.
Miles, didn't you also pick up Persona 5 because you wanted to share the experience?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I almost forgot. Thank you, Travis. So I was talking to Jake when we were best friends, and I said, Jake, you have such great taste in video games. Let me in on the secret. What's the next big thing? And he was like, Miles, let me tell you, if I get this Persona 5 and you get this Persona 5... we could play it together at the same time and we could talk and share stories and we could talk through the game together. And I was like, really? Really, Jake? You do that for me? And Jake was like, yeah, of course, buddy. You go out and you spend $92 of your hard-earned money. You know, I don't have a lot of money for games. And Jake is like, go, you know... buy that one game you can afford a year and make it Persona 5. And so I did. I played through Persona 5 and there's no Jake. There's nobody to talk to. Did you even finish the game like you told me you were going to?
I mean, can I talk now? Is that okay? Is that rhetorical? I don't know anymore.
You may speak.
Oh, thank you. No, I did not finish it yet.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Did you promise it that you would finish it? Like, you promised me. I can't even.
Oh, man.
But what do you think about Doomfist, though?
Oh, Doomfist looks sweet.
Yeah.
Knowing nothing about the game, I am very excited that there is something called Doomfist besides me in high school. So that's really cool that we can share that name. We ready to move on?
Yeah.
Summer Games Done Quick 2017. I love watching these, but this year I was a little too busy to check it out. Mm. Did anybody check out Summer Games Done Quick?
I can say I did not. So.
Oh, I love watching them.
I do too.
Yeah, I watched a bunch, but again, I was a little bit busy this time around too, so I didn't get to see as many as I wanted. But I always make sure that I kind of look at the schedule. See which games I really want to see runs of, and if I couldn't watch them live, because at work I can't watch Twitch, but I can watch YouTube, and there was like an automated YouTube channel that would post every game as soon as they were complete.
Yeah.
So it was almost like you watch them right after they were finished. So I would kind of pay attention to the schedule and pick out some of the ones. I always watch the Grandmaster Tetris stuff, though.
Yeah, that stuff is crazy.
It's insane, right? Like, it is so... it's so much fun to watch.
Yes.
And there was it didn't happen this year, but a couple of years ago, there were no Grandmasters in North America. Like, all the Grandmasters are from Japan. And so they would all... at the GDQs would always be like one of the best, like I think his name is Kevin DDR, and he's like the closest to, he was the closest to becoming a grandmaster, and then they brought in a Japanese player and you realize, oh yeah, they're so much better at Tetris. But since then Kevin DDR has become a grandmaster, and he was like the first, I don't know if there's anyone since him, but like maybe like a year and a half or something ago he hit grandmaster,
he ascended.
That's the stuff I love to watch, though, and I like watching us. I watched someone run Dark Souls in 30 minutes.
That's just nuts.
So, stupid. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I love watching a lot of the classic games because that's my era, and just seeing people just master some of these parts of games that plagued me my entire life and just skip past it in a second. It's awesome and humbling and everything else.
There was a really good one this year, a Mario marathon, where it was three different teams, and they had to play through Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3 without warps. Mm. And they would like switch after Mario 1, then the Mario 2 player would come in and grab the controller.
Yeah.
And it was a race between three teams. It was cool.
How long did it take all in all three games? Just do you have any idea?
I think it was like maybe around an hour and 45 minutes,
yeah,
something
really
like that.
But it's no war.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's cool, though.
The Kaizo Mario stuff is super fun to watch as well. Yeah. Like all those crazy
Mario
levels.
Hacks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You're our resident Mario expert, so thanks for chiming in on that. moving on to Castlevania Season 1 Review. I finished it. Did you finish it, Jake?
I finished it, yeah.
Flock, did you check this out?
I have not.
No. I watched one episode.
What'd you think of the one?
I wasn't, like, a huge fan. Mm. I like the story, but the dialogue I wasn't a fan of, so...
Interesting. I am pretty easy to please. I'm just glad they made it. Well, that's kind of how I approached it going in. I was just happy that it existed. And then once I got into it, I kind of liked it. Very disappointed it was only four
episodes. Yeah,
four
pretty
episodes.
Short.
But I was talking to you about it, and if it was supposed to be a proof of concept or a pilot in a sense of let's see how people react to this, I think it was really good at setting up a good next part.
Yeah, I mean, it was four 25-minute episodes, and it ended up being basically the length of a feature film, just split into four different segments. And, you know, I thought that the amount of content was a little light, but I really liked the animation. I think the voice cast was impressive. Richard Armitage, I mean, that's a big pull. If those of you who don't know, he played Thorin Oakenshield in the Hobbit films.
No. Oh.
So, like, decent voice cast, and I liked the setup. And obviously, I'm not going to go into spoilers here, but the final episode I thought was pretty smart, and it just makes me anticipate season two.
And a lot of really good references,
two
parts of the game, and just little parts.
Little moves that happen. It's pretty
A lot
sweet.
Of nice callbacks. It was great fan service.
I enjoyed it.
Looking forward to more, personally.
Yeah.
Cool.
It could just be that Miles isn't, like, a total Castlevania fan.
It's true, I'm not. Yeah.
So
that's fair.
That makes a difference, I'm sure.
Well, like, I just don't know a lot about Castlevania, so.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Although the setup was pretty interesting. I didn't know that about Castlevania without spoiling anything.
Yeah. That first episode was all just, you know, I guess a good precursor to what happens.
An epilogue,
in a way. Yeah, prologue.
Yeah, a prologue. I think. Yeah,
prologue. I'm an idiot.
Before the log.
Yes. No, it makes sense.
No, I think it was good in because the video game it's based on Castlevania 3, and there's no story elements in the NES game really. You just kind of wander room to room with your whip, beating shit to death.
Yeah,
and so I think this.
You know, a good guy.
You're right. So,
like a hero.
Even if you had played the game, some of the lore points are probably still unfamiliar. I mean, they were to me, and I'm a pretty big fan of Castlevania, or at least, you know, through the games. I haven't dug any deeper into the lore beyond that. So,
I just like bloody fantasy violence, and it did me good.
Yeah. Oh, in your shows.
Yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
All right. So that was hot. Jake's wrap that up.
Oh.
Let's move on to games we have completed.
I want to go first because I'm really proud of myself.
As you should be.
Jake, hit that I beat a big game music. Jake, do we have big game music?
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Thank you. I beat The Witcher Wild Hunt. I beat it.
Dick.
I beat it. I beat it.
That's exciting.
Yeah, ask me questions. I'm ready. What do you got? Did I like it? Yes. I thought it was really good. Toward the end, I got a little fatigued with it, so I did kind of streamline that main story. But at some point, you just it kind of narrows you in regardless.
Okay.
It says, you know, you can't do this anymore. Let's just get this
Let's
over
focus.
With.
Okay.
Interestingly, and I don't believe this is a spoiler, but once you beat the game, it will kind of take you back to the world before that last chapter to just to kind of leave that DLC open. So it's interesting that the DLC pretends the ending never happened.
Okay.
So
interesting.
It says a lot about the future of The Witcher, I think.
Okay.
So if you can make it to the end, do it.
Okay.
It's good.
So you mentioned DLC. When do you think you'll go back to play that Blood and Wine and all that jazz?
I don't know. I mean,
you got it all, right?
I mean, do.
It
was all part of
it. You like it, right? I mean,
well,
you like it's a good game.
But, Well, I got to the end and I just felt like I was done.
Okay. That's fair.
I left. The door's open. The game leaves the door open.
Right.
You can go back and
play
some
more. There's even just a game plus mode, right? You can kind of go back and
So I'm really proud to beat that. 56
Absolutely.
Hours or so.
Now, I have to say, that's the biggest game you've beaten since Fallout, right?
It's big. It's a big old girthy game.
I mean, usually you go for them like, 30-minute NES games and act like you've done something.
But a 30-minute NES game can take days to master.
Yeah, whatever.
Ask Miles about Contra.
I'm not going to ask Miles about Contra. We're not friends anymore.
Oh. Fair enough. Man, that was hateful.
No, we're friends.
We should have a fight right now.
A fight?
Take your shirts off.
I've been playing. I've been playing fighting games. So I got some moves.
It's pull and play. Let's do it.
You do pull and play, and I'll do stick it to the man.
This is going to get smelly, Catherine.
Yeah, so sorry.
I'm going to just leave the room for a little while.
Fair enough.
What's the worst that could happen?
I don't know. We'll think about it.
So I did beat The Witcher.
That's impressive.
Proud of that.
Congratulations.
One. And then thank you. And then the other one I beat was probably harder, honestly. If you did a ratio of time to frustration, the Donkey Kong Country 2. I'm sorry. Monkey Dong Pantry 2 per sabotage on the note sheet for Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I laid that one out, but it was I'm not afraid to say it. It was a bastard.
Yeah.
You said you beat it as a young man, as a young bearded Jacob.
I mean, I was probably, let me think about this, 10, 11? Yeah.
And 11. Bearded,
yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my beard was much shorter.
Yeah.
It was inside my face, but yeah.
Well, no, it was, but it's good. I hear it's the last good Donkey Kong Country of that era.
Basically. Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
So you knocked two games out.
That's two.
Those of you who predict you beat more.
Yeah, I do want to jump in real quick before I let everybody else have a chance. I got to find my phone. I forgot to bring this up. Quit laughing and quit cackling, you weirdo. I sent out a tweet via the Polykill thing, and I said, we record episode 45 this evening. Obviously, I sent that this morning, and I said, how many games did we beat since last episode? And then I ask folks how many games they beat, right?
Right.
Something I think I'm going to do from now on.
I think it's smart.
It's cool.
It's light accountability on our part.
Promote some interaction.
Yeah.
With the
just be a tit thing.
Yeah, just be a tit or beat it. Brian, our buddy Brian, said, I'm guessing one each, and I also beat one. So he's already wrong.
He's
already spoiled it for me. Yep. I beat two. Okay. And but he beat one. Congrats. He beat... well, we'll get to that later. P1 of the Cartridge Club says Trav 3, Jake 1.
Okay, so he's already wrong.
He's wrong, but he has me more than you, which is you'll find is a theme throughout this.
I agree, it's a theme.
Pam says she guessed that we beat 3 in total, and then she beat 15.
That's insane.
And I said, what, with a hammer?
It's crazy.
You know, because that's a joke that I would use.
Right.
And she says only the ones that made me mad. So I don't know how you beat 15 games, Pam.
I don't either. I don't know. But we also don't know, what the time frame is, you know?
Well, since last episode.
Okay, so I didn't catch that part.
Maybe it was the last episode she listened to. Maybe she only listened to,
episode 12.
12
yeah.
Back in 2015. Easy. The Rocket Sauce said that he made it to the credits of Tetris, and then he considered that a win.
Yeah.
And then the Mrs. Q-Dog called him out and said, didn't you also finish Portal as well? And he was like, oh, yeah. So he did beat two.
Yeah, he did.
So that was funny. Derek's, he beat one.
Cool.
Beat Portal.
That's a good one.
Miss Q Dog, she beat two. She beat Portal. She got a polykill. Mm-hmm. She beat Portal in Final Fantasy IV.
Hot damn.
Diego says Jake won Trav 4. He says he's still debating on whether or not to say he's beaten Mortal Kombat 8D, which looks like MK8, like a penis emoji.
Sure,
like penis
I get that. I'm like trying to figure out what 8D is.
I don't know. Maybe it was supposed to be a face with I don't know. I don't know, man. Okay. Just leave me alone.
All right, okay.
And then Musty Hobbit, he says he beat two, could be three by the time we record, but we'll never know, Musty.
Yeah, we'll know.
He says, you two, me three. So again, people value my abilities to beat video games more than they do yours.
Yeah, that's accurate.
And Frankie says...
says relax.
I lost. Yeah, oh. Well, that's pretty funny.
You're welcome.
I think he says two. I don't know. I lost his tweet. It was late. It was a late tweet. I'm sorry, Frankie. But Frankie didn't know. Two for Travis, one for Jake.
Okay.
Oh, and our friend Raj says zero for Travis, one for Jake.
Oh, that man. Was the all over broke the mold. All over the board.
So there we go. So that was everybody.
So everybody's wrong.
Everybody's
so far.
Wrong so far. nobody said that I beat two. So, Jake, let's go ahead and get us out of the way.
Yeah.
Let you go next.
I'll go next.
Tell everybody how wrong they are.
Okay. So the first game that I beat in a series of several was Watch It and Wank.
Watch It Wank?
Watch It Wank, however you want to say it. But Ratchet and Clank PS4, the slight reboot, slight remake, slight remaster of the classic PS2 era action platformer Ratchet and Clank. Thoroughly enjoyed this video game. I think it was visually stunning. Just a lot of fun to play. I mean, it's just a video game through and through. Doesn't take itself seriously. Breaks the fourth wall. Pokes fun at itself. And, you know, you're just this cute little creature with a robot on his back shooting bad guys with rockets and flying around in space and shit. So
nice.
It was a nice break from some of the more, you know, oppressive or heavy shit that I play sometimes.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
Well, congrats
Super
on that.
Nice. Yeah.
What run you? How long did it take?
That was about a 9-hour romp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big commitment because you weren't playing that before the last episode,
not.
Right?
Then was good. Not. It was one of my pickups, if you recall.
Oh, that is true.
The next one I beat was Killer NSYNC Gold.
Yeah, you killed NSYNC?
Yeah, bye bye bye, baby.
Oh man,
I think that was them, right? I
yes.
don't know. I get those bands confused, but yeah, Killer NSYNC Gold on the Rare Replay on Xbox One. I was like, you know what? I'm going to beat another game, and here's what it's going to be. It's going to be Killer NSYNC Gold. So I hopped in there with my buddy Jago, and we kicked some ass around.
You don't have a buddy named that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was the little fighter guy.
Oh,
the Tibetan warrior monk. Yeah, Jago.
Okay, no, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, it's fine. He's basically the loose king.
I was a Fulgore main.
What?
Killer Instinct is Fulgore.
Fulgore. Oh, yeah, Fulgore. Yeah, I always mained Jago or Spinal. Yeah, one of the two.
Oh, yeah, Spinal was
that little teleport.
Pretty good. Just rush.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sweet. So beat that one.
What does that entail, beating a killer?
Oh, I mean, that's...
Gold?
I mean, it depends on how good you are at the fighting game, because honestly, the AI and the old-school Killer Instinct games are pretty damn tough.
Oh, yeah. Most of those old fighting games are, too.
Yeah. Much more so than recent fighting games in my experience. Mm-hmm. But I think it probably maybe is just shitty controls too. Anyway, the point is that was about an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
So not terribly long.
Yeah.
Took a couple of retries on a couple of entries, but got through them.
Nice.
Got credits.
Congrats.
That's all I wanted.
Congrats.
That's two.
That's two.
All right, so then also...
We're tied right now.
We're tied right now.
2-2.
And then now I beat Speedrunners.
Oh, man.
So suck it. Everybody who
now,
said I didn't beat any.
How long does that take? Like 30 minutes?
That was like 2.5 hours.
Oh, okay.
2.5 hours.
All right.
So about 3 NES games.
No, come on.
About 3 NES games.
No, but you beat it one sitting, probably.
I did beat it one sitting.
It didn't take you 5 days to learn a map and learn the controls and learn the rhythm.
I went into it blind. You know, I'd never played it before. Uh-huh. I just sit down and beat it.
Okay, well, that's good.
So, but it was a pretty cool game.
Yeah.
If you haven't played it, it was, I think it was free on Xbox Games with Gold last month or maybe the month before. It's a like a platforming racing action game where you play this superhero that races villains to take over their territory.
You gotta get them out of the screen, right?
Get them out of the screen.
Yeah.
Just run past so they get out of the screen and then boom, they blow up and you win the race.
Neat.
It was about 20 different levels.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, well, okay, 16 levels and 4 boss fights.
So a decent amount of content.
Yeah, decent amount of content. It was fun.
Yeah, nice.
A lot of fun. And finally, that's three.
Yeah, that's three. You beat me. Oh, man.
Final three. And finally, on beaten games, is Rhyme.
Yeah.
I beat this.
And you won't shut up about
last night.
It either.
This game, guys, this game is good ass shit. I'm serious. I haven't played a game that has affected me the way that this game affected me since
Journey.
I was going to say Journey, but Journey was rapturous and light and borderline religious.
Okay.
This was more like, it was heavy. You know, it was not a, I mean, it wasn't like a jump up and down, yippee-ki-yay motherfucker kind of game.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was heavy. I won't spoil anything story-wise, but it's a beautiful game, amazing soundtrack. Puzzles are fun, but not overwhelming. Just the right amount of difficulty. The game is at times, and I don't use the word lightly, magical. Just absolutely magical.
You use rapturous lightly. It's just
That's different. Okay, but I'm saying
I feel like tossing around rapturous.
Just throwing rapturous around, but hey, magical. That is
well. The reason why is I feel like that magical is almost like a typical box quote that you see on a video game, and it just seems a little passe, a little ad nauseum, if you will. But I think that this game truly does have magic in it.
Okay.
I think they distilled magic and just like squeegeed it onto the disc, let it dry, and then let me play it.
Okay, that's
all thoughts right. on whimsy.
Yeah,
I have no thoughts on whimsy. No comment. but I really do encourage anyone who has had an inkling to play this or have not had an inkling to play this to play it. It's about 6 hours, 6.5 hours. Completionist run will probably take you 12 hours because there's collectibles and stuff. But the game is just absolutely fantastic, and I really think everybody should play it.
Cool.
So yeah, please play it.
So all in all, you beat four.
I beat four,
nobody
and then retired
gets
one.
Four, right?
No one gets four. I retired one, which was Adrift, which I bought for $3 on PSN, and it was a piece of shit. I'm not playing it again.
Is it worth less than $3?
Yeah, I told Brian at lunch today, I was like, it's a $20 game, I paid $3 for it, and I feel like I overpaid by three.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's...
boring, yeah. You said boring, yeah.
You just float and get oxygen cans in space, and you're moving at a snail's pace. And you can die if you don't get to the oxygen can. That's all I experienced in 2 hours of trying to get through that fucking game.
That sounds terrible.
Over it.
All right. Well, all right.
Sorry.
Take it away, Catherine. What have you beaten?
What have you completed? Me. Yeah, it's your turn.
I played Final Fantasy IV.
And that's what the ass highlighted, everybody. Yeah. We got ass in the
Final Fantasy.
It's the extra butt version. Uh-huh. That was for the Cartridge Club Game of the Month in June, and I've never played a Final Fantasy, so I thought I should just play along with a club.
Cool.
And I had a lot of fun. I played it on the Game Boy Advance, which I hear is not the best version of the game to play, but I really enjoyed it, and I am looking forward to playing other Final Fantasy games because of it.
Okay.
And then just listening to the conversation from the club and participating in the forums and stuff about it was just a lot of fun. So I'm glad that I got that off my backlog.
You've officially
Travis beat that too.
No, you've officially beaten more Final Fantasy games than me, and I've played at least 18 of them. So congratulations. That's good.
It's were always you good just to beat like, a club were game. You frustrated with like
the moon
grinding and stuff? Or
no, the moon. I got wiped out on the moon a lot, and it's the second time I'm at the moon. And I know that's near the end, but I'll get decently far, and then I'll get a battle that just wipes me out. And it's not like I feel like the battles can't be beaten. I just hate taking the time of getting back to where I was. So I got a little burnout for the time being.
Yeah, that gets a little bit hard. Like having to replay stuff, especially if you fight your way. Like it takes you a long time to fight your way to a certain point, and then if you wipe, you have to do it all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a RPG, though, I guess.
Yeah,
especially classic.
Yeah. I also played Detective Grimoire on PC.
What is that all about?
It's just a point-and-click murder mystery game. You're a detective, and you get sent to this little island, a swamp island, and they think that a monster has killed some rich man, and you have to it's just like a standard point and click where you go around, you talk to all the locals, and you get clues. It actually had a really neat little mechanic where if you got enough clues, then it would unlock challenges, because where you have to talk to someone and try to figure out the answer to one of the puzzles or something. So it would, you could talk to someone, talk to someone else, and then a challenge would unlock where you'd have to talk to the first person again to try to find more clues or kind of like logic your way into.
Sounds like a Metroidvania of logic, it seems.
Maybe. Yeah. And then the other, I played another game called Johnny Bravo in the Hucka Mega Mighty Ultra Extreme Date-O-Rama.
Say it 5 times real fast, Miles.
Johnny Bravo in the Hucka Mega Mighty Ultra Extreme Date-O-Rama! That's Johnny Bravo in the
No,
Hucka
okay, no, don't actually do it. You have to be very clear with Miles. He doesn't always understand.
He nailed it on the first try. He didn't even have, the other four were just for show.
Just muscle memory.
It was just going to be exactly the same. That was on the DS. It was a backup of my original version of that game, I guess.
Original version just the Hucka Mega Mighty Ultra? Just that, not extreme version.
It's not the extreme one. Yeah. Just plain Datarama.
So Datarama, is it like speed dating with Johnny Bravo or something? Like,
it's kind of like. It's a game show, so it's like you and you're against like an AI character, and you're both fighting, like you're both playing a bunch of mini games to win a date with the pretty lady.
Johnny Bravo?
Yeah, you're Johnny Bravo.
Of course.
And let's take a bunch of mini games, like you have to like pick flowers or deliver candies and stuff like that. It's not very good at all. It's one of those games that I don't know if it was early on, like I don't know what year it's from, but it's one of those DS games that really wants you to embrace everything that a DS has to offer. So
yeah.
That, you know, you got to blow into the mic and you have to use the stylus sometimes, and you have to sometimes use the shoulder buttons, and it was too much of, let's see what we can do with all these things.
But you
and I will,
through.
I'll just say that I picked these games because I'm doing the CCABC and I needed a D and a J still. So that's pretty much how I choose my games.
Fair enough. Yeah. I can't think of any other J games.
So. That the Cartoon Network was like, we got to get into the dating sim market.
That'll be crack it.
I finished it 3 times because I lost to the AI the first time. And, you know, it keeps his score in the high score list. So on my save file, when I go, and then I beat it twice. I beat it once, and then I beat it a second time because I was convinced that there was a better ending, but it wasn't. It was the exact same ending, but I didn't improve on my score. But every time I look at my high scores, it has the AI's high score on it. It's very upsetting.
Yeah, that's just rubbing your face.
Why would you do that? I don't understand.
It's like when the orcs get promoted in Shadows of Mordor.
Yeah.
All right,
anyway,
Miles.
Those are the 3 games I finished.
Well, awesome. Congrats on those, especially the Final Fantasy. And you got a polykill. That's great.
Booyah.
Take it away, Miles. What you got?
I'm going to start with a classic game called Ninja Masturbators.
Now, I have no idea what this game actually is because this was sabotaged before I even got in this.
No, that's the name. That was the real name. It wasn't sabotaged. No, it was called Ninja Masters.
I was like, Jake, what a good job. What was that game?
No idea. So what is it actually? I'm sorry. We were laughing over here. Sorry.
No, it's called Ninja Masters.
Oh.
And it's a fighting game.
You totally fooled us.
Yeah.
Now we have to harp on this. I thought that you really meant that it wasn't sabotage and it was really called Ninja Masturbators, and I got excited.
Yeah, you got really excited.
That's how gullible we are.
You just added a game to your backlog.
I did.
Hey.
More of a front log, if you know what I'm saying.
All right. So how good or bad is Ninja Masters as a fighting game, and what system is it on? Because I'm not sure about that either.
So I got this game. There was a Japanese PS4 sale for digital games, and one of the games was ADK Collection.
Yeah.
And have you heard of it?
I saw the collection, but I haven't dived. Go ahead.
So this is kind of like a Capcom fighter, like Street Fighter 2, but it's also mixed with Samurai Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can pull out a weapon, but you can lose the weapon if you get hit really hard while you're wielding it, and it gets stuck in the middle of the arena.
Oh, wow.
And then you can go pick it up.
kind of neat.
The game is way better than it needs to be. And I was actually surprised because I have no nostalgia for this game, and I still found it to be a very...
Oh, no. Sorry. Our sound just went nutty. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
I still found it to be a very reasonable fighting game. I would check it out if you have the opportunity. Don't spend more than $2 on it, but, you know.
Was this like Neo Geo originally or something?
Yeah.
Okay. It kind of looked like
Neo Geo games. Okay. And the reason why I bought the collection was for the next game I beat, which is Twinkle Star Sprites.
I've heard about this game, and I know that it was fairly popular in terms of the Neo Geo era. But yeah, go on, sorry.
No. I heard about it on Bonus Barrel. They did an episode about it, and it sounded like something I would be really into, so I've been looking for it ever since. The game kind of plays like a Wario's Woods or Tetris Attack,
right.
Pokemon Puzzle League, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Except instead of puzzles, it's a shoot 'em up.
Mm.
So you're playing with two screens. The second half is the person you're against, and you're shooting targets, and the more combinations you get, the more targets go on your opponent's board.
Oh, it sounds like Palamedes, a game on the NES, actually, in concept.
I've never played that.
Yeah, it's very fun. If you like that, you might like Palamedes.
Yeah, I should check it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really liked that game. It was pretty short, but I enjoyed it. And then I played a couple of Bethesda games.
Yeah, yeah.
I finished Wolfenstein The New Order and Doom.
Oh, Doom! So I'm assuming it's new Doom, right? Doom 2016?
Yeah, 2016.
I love that so much.
It's such a good game. I hope you liked it.
I thought it was terrible.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm pretty gullible. I was almost flipping the table.
You have to remember, he was over here trying to pre-order Ninja Masturbator. So,
I believe everything you say.
But awesome. So, first of all, I want to get your take on The New Order, because I feel like, you know, that game got a bit of an upsurge in the club with my homies, and, you know, possibly due to the announcement and imminent release of the next in the series, The New Colossus. But what did you think about it?
That was totally the reason why I ended up buying it.
Okay.
I loved the trailer for The New Colossus, and I didn't know that Wolfenstein had such a deep story, because the last time I played Wolfenstein was Wolfenstein on the PS3.
Okay.
And I thought the game was terrible.
It was ass. It was just absolute
ass.
And
I was so upset, because I even had Wolfenstein on the Super Nintendo when I was a kid.
Mm.
And that's how I played it.
Yep.
But, yeah, so I went out, picked up The New Order, and I thought it was amazing. I did grab it after Doom, so I already knew that I would be into a first-person shooter from Bethesda.
Sure.
So that had already set the bar really high. I liked Wolfenstein's story, I guess, more than the Doom story.
Yeah, easily, in my opinion. That makes a lot of sense.
Although I will say the Doom story gets not enough credit, because people just toss it aside like there is no story. But there is a story in Doom, and it's actually quite good, and I feel for the main character in Doom. Okay. He just woke up, and he's demons on Mars.
Yeah,
and there's this moment where the scientist is like, make sure you don't destroy any of the energy valves. Just remove the energy valves carefully, because this is priceless. And he just kicks the hell out of them and shatters them.
Yeah.
Because he's like, dude, I'm here on Mars fighting demons. Like, I care about money and priceless energy. And then to get away from demons on Mars, he has to go to literal hell.
Literal hell.
Literal hell.
Actual hell.
Literal hell.
Yeah, I kind of felt like the story in that game got in the way of my action. I'm sure there was one, and it was probably decent, but I was just wanting the balls to the walls, just fucking heavy metal that game.
Yeah, I think that's what happened to most people that played it, is just the mechanics of that game were so good and so refreshing and different for a shooter in this era that people just kind of fell back in love with the mechanics of a shooter and either ignored or just sort of sidelined the story, marginalized a little bit.
They give you just enough, though. Filled with cutscenes or anything like that.
Right.
Like, they know what people want. It's very self-aware.
Yes. Yep. Very streamlined. I thought the New Order story was fantastic. I thought the, just a focus on a single-player campaign as a release was refreshing, because it really felt like all the development effort went into making that good rather than splitting it between multiplayer and other modes and trying to keep things alive. It was just like, this is a story-based shooter. Have fun with it. Enjoy the ride. We're not going to try to, cram a bunch of other stuff down your throat.
Very pretty, too.
I think, I totally agree with all of that. I think that Bethesda has nailed pulp in video games.
Mm.
Like, Wolfenstein is just the right amount of pulp, where it's like, I feel like I'm reading a 4-page story in heavy metal or something. it was just a great story and so much fun.
And do you plan on playing The Old Blood anytime soon?
Yeah, that's on my...
It's on deck.
It's on deck. Backlog.
I will say that one has an extra dose of pulp. It's extra pulpy.
Okay.
So I don't know if it'll be too much on the pulp side for you, but tonally it's way different. But it's fun.
So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I heard it's a prequel. So
it is a prequel, and it's like a Grindhouse prequel. It's like it just goes full on Grindhouse. So it's awesome. I loved it.
Well, that takes us to what we've added to our backlog. And Miles, what have you added to your backlog?
The Old Blood.
Holy shit, what a surprise.
Oh my god.
Maybe if Jake had scrolled down earlier.
I'm just trying to keep things flowing naturally. Excuse me. Okay, so you added to your backlog. Catherine, what have you added to your backlog?
I have put Journey on my backlog because it is the Cartridge Club Game of the Month for August.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to play it. Before we even had our PS4, I wanted to play it on PS3.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just never got it.
Okay.
And I know, I've never played it, so I just really, really want to.
So
it looks like my kind of game.
Here's my suggestion to you. Carve out an evening and play this in one sitting. It'll take you 2.5 hours to beat. It's not extensive. But try to do so with as few distractions as possible. And do it all in one sitting, because that makes or breaks the experience in my purview.
2 hours.
It's a fantastic game. The music is some of the best you'll ever hear in a video game, and it's quite the experience. So I look forward to that discussion, because I think I'm actually on that podcast with the club.
Oh.
Because I played this back on PS3 when it initially released, and it really left its mark on me. So I'm trying to decide whether to play through it again or not before the podcast. I kind of don't want to tarnish my initial experience, but I also kind of would like to play it again anyway. So I'm kind of I'm in a little no man's land there.
Yeah.
You played it on the PS3. Why not try it on the
PS4? Yeah, I mean that's a good enough reason to at least look at it again. So it's quite possible.
And you can come across people in the game. Like, do you have to have servers or something? Like,
it's random. It's not really matchmaking, but it's, you will encounter other players. There's no, active interaction with them. It's more passive, for the most part. I don't want to spoil too much, but there's,
I know why I got confused, because I watched, do you know Day9? He's like the StarCraft guy.
Sounds somewhat familiar, but I really can't put a finger on it.
He's just like a StarCraft analyzing kind of guy. But he used to have Day9's day off, and I watched him play a little bit of Journey, and he would always live stream that. And while he was playing Journey, he came across a person, and he started Are you watching the stream? Like, jump 3 times if you're watching the stream.
Yeah.
And the other person, so that was the only way that they could really confirm that it was someone, like, that they were playing together with someone they knew. But there was no other way.
Yeah.
To
there was some really interesting things that happened on the that game company is the developer on their message boards after the game released, and people were initially playing it of people basically trying to figure out who played through the game with them and leaving these big messages about how intense and moving of experience was, and they would love to figure out who was playing when to actually talk to this person in real life.
Nice. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Craigslist casual encounter setup.
I mean, hey.
It's like, hey, I was running through the sand with you, and you were a little bit in front. You looked real cute, and you were jumping around. And
you dropped your scarf, and I wanted to get it back to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I look forward to everyone playing that game and hearing the discussion. So, yeah, should be sweet.
Nice.
So, Travis, you didn't add anything to your backlog.
No, you know, I'm just trying to keep it real. Yeah, I got enough games to play right now that are already on the old backlog.
But we'll get to what your long play is here soon, right?
Yeah, we will.
All right.
That's how the show works.
But I'm just trying to let people know that you're not giving up on games.
I'm not giving up on games. Yeah, I will be adding something to the backlog here in an episode or two, I'm sure.
All right. So for me, I added two games to the backlog that I know I'm going to play within the next few months. One of those is The Last of Us, the remastered version for PS4 that I picked up. I'm probably going to wait a bit before I start that because I don't want to play something so emotional right now. After beating Rhyme, I kind of want something a little more lighthearted. So that's why I did...
So good.
I know. I'm anticipating a lot. And the other game I added was Final Fantasy 15, which I already put about an hour into, just to see what was up.
Yeah, so that's another... I mean, that's Final Fantasy 15, it's no small business. You got that on top of The Witcher, on top of your other RPGs.
Yep.
You said you
Persona
were going to...
Persona 5.
I wasn't going to bring it up, Miles, but since we did, Persona 5.
Persona 5. No, I get it.
You got some good ones.
It's not going to be the next game I play. I just wanted to dabble to see what it looked like because it's supposed to be real pretty, and it was.
Fair enough. A lot of good haircuts in that game.
Sweet, sweet hair.
It's time for an ad read.
Yeah.
Take it away, nerds.
Oh. This episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies LLC. Cowtech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above.
To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, send an email to info@cowden.tech. Also, everyone at Cowtech is better at video games than Jake.
Oh!
What?
More efficient at video games than Jake. That's damn sure.
That's probably true. Now, I don't know about you, Travis, but I really just think I'm going to edit that out, and that'll be our ad read from now on. That was fantastic.
No.
That was fantastic.
No, you can't do that.
Why?
I don't know. I won't let you.
I think it was good. I like their voices.
No, I flubbed.
That's good. No, yeah.
Wait, do it from the top.
And a one, and a two.
I'm totally fake not happy with that because they said your name instead of mine.
No,
so
I know.
It works for me.
Yeah, it does.
If you like what you hear so far, folks, and I know we're running over. We're over an hour right now, but it's because we're having so much goddamn fun, and we hope you are too. No, we are having fun. You stop it, Catherine. We're having fun right now. If you like what you're hearing so far and you're having fun like Catherine is, I think they have Stockholm Syndrome, Jake.
I don't know.
You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast. We're also on the Cartridge Club along with the flock of nerds over there, cartridgeclub.org, that's short for organism.
Orgasm.
PolyKill.com is where we have all of our blogs and videos and podcasts. PolyKillPodcast@gmail.com is where you can get a hold of us if you'd like to drop us a line.
Send us some stories.
Please rate us on iTunes. We don't ask for money or anything. You know, we just want your good sweet home loving there on the iTunes. So
sweet home loving.
Just give us some sweet southern sweet home loving there on the iTunes. Give us a little internet hug.
Okay.
And subscribe. You know what? Don't subscribe to our YouTube channel this week. Go over and subscribe to the Flock of Nerds if you haven't, because those folks actually do put out weekly content, good quality content, and they have a podcast they release on the YouTubes there once a month called Flock Talk. Right? Right, guys?
That's all true.
Good. I was hoping I nailed it. All right, now it's time for... Is everybody ready for this? We're going to do a countdown.
Do a countdown.
One and a two and a one, two, three, four.
Long play.
Yeah.
Man.
Harmonious.
I think the Beatles would have been really impressed with that.
The Beatles would have shot themselves out of pure horror that they weren't as good as that.
Well, Yeah. I could see that happening. All right, so long play. If everyone's ears have now fully adjusted, I'll go ahead and go first.
Go ahead and
I started.
Go first.
I'd added this. I don't even know if I ever added this to my backlog vocally, but I skipped it. I skipped adding it and sent it straight to the long play. Jake.
Oh my God! Can you do that?
I don't even know. What are the rules?
What are the rules?
I sent it straight to the long play. Beyond Good and Evil HD on the Xbox.
Oh.
It was Xbox One technically. It's Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And I've played like an hour of it, and it's cool. It's not what I thought it was.
Okay.
I didn't know a lot about the game, okay?
Sure.
The era that it came out, I was in sports prison.
Right.
Kind of missed the hubbub.
Yep.
And from what I can tell or what I remember, it was kind of a late bloomer in terms of...
I think it was a cult classic, I think they call it. Cult classic.
Cult classic. Yeah, there you go. I like that, too. Yeah. It was a cult classic, so I missed all the hubbub and haven't really caught on to it until I heard people really clamoring for a second one.
Right.
And so now that we're getting that, I was like, let me go back and dabble. You know, that trailer was interesting from E3.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I expected the game to be. You're just running around taking pictures of shit. That's
right.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah,
that's what you do. You're journalist.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's not what I thought it was, but I do love the characters in that game are very, exuberant and colorful and fun. So
nice.
So far, so fun.
Awesome. All right. For myself, my long play does remain, for the time being, Horizon Zero Dawn.
No dongs.
No dong. And for the record, now, you've heard me talk. You know, I played a little Final Fantasy 15. I have played, beaten four games.
Proud he is.
But I have also spent another 6 hours or so in Horizon Zero Dawn in the last 2 weeks. I have nothing more to say about the game than I've said already. If you haven't played it, it's travesty, and you should fix that.
Cool. All right.
Yep.
Catherine, you playing anything good?
I don't know if it's good, but I'm playing Trauma Center Under the Knife on DS.
It
like
good.
I was really trying to get as many games as possible finished for, so I could get a polykill. We were really, really trying to get a pentakill, but I screwed it up. So
we actually finished another game that we didn't mention.
It's because it's embarrassing.
Oh, hold on.
Trinidad's Rescue Rangers.
That's a great game.
The NES classic.
Well,
Well,
we got that Disney collection
on PS4. Yeah, yeah.
And funny thing about that collection is when you play the game, you can rewind.
Like the rare replay.
So we played without even dying in that game because we just...
Rewound.
You can just rewind.
Yeah.
But we did that co-op because... So Miles actually did get a pentakill, but I only got a quadruple kill.
Pentakill's a great name for a metal band, right, Jake?
It should be.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
maybe
I think
it already
pentakill.
Is one.
Is it?
I know pentakill.
I don't know.
No.
I was like, okay,
I'm so gullible.
It's like, I don't subscribe to their channels. I don't know.
But back to Trauma Center Under the Knife.
Now, I will interject something really quickly here. I looked at the title of this game over my microphone, and I don't know if it was obscured by the foam plushiness of my microphone, but when I read it, I thought it said Trauma Center Under the Kids, because I saw the K and the DS, and I was like, what in the hell kind of game is this? And how did Nintendo allow such? But go ahead.
It's an Atlas game, and I know Miles is just, if a game says Atlas on it, he'll likely buy it.
Probably.
And it's just I don't know what it's called. It's just using the DS stylus to perform surgeries and things, but
that is a weird thing for Atlas to do.
It sounds interesting, though. I'll say
they're
that
they're really popular games. I think we have a couple. I think for the Wii, it really is taking use of motion controls or something like the stylus. So making incisions and things like that using that type of input as opposed to a traditional controller. So I'm actually really liking it, but it's stressful and I'm stuck. So. Guy keeps dying on me and I can't save him. Keep trying.
That sounds really unique and interesting.
That
though.
Does. It kind of reminds me. I mean, I'm sure mechanically it's not similar, but I'm wondering, that because Atlas also, I think it's Atlas, publishes, maybe it's not. Anyway, it kind of puts me in mind of the Phoenix Wright, where you're kind of playing a profession and you're doing a thing. So that's cool. Because they're probably making it you know, I'm looking at some screenshots here, and it looks like it's got like characters and shit. So it's not just like,
yeah, it looks a lot like Phoenix Wright too, where they use like the visual novel style,
yeah.
For the top screen, and then the bottom screen is all the input stuff.
Sweet,
it's good. I like it.
Neat. Well, speaking of trauma and being under the knife, what you got going on, Miles?
Oh man, I got a real long game. It's called Little Nightmares. And it takes most people about 2 hours to finish this one. But it's a puzzle platformer, and I beat Inside this year, so everything pales in comparison to Inside. I'm just playing Little... It's just so much like Inside. I'll finish, like, two puzzles, and then I'll wake up, and I'll be like, oh, I fell asleep again.
Oh. Oh, shit.
This game, so... Oh. I think if you play Little Nightmares and then Inside, perfect. You wouldn't have a problem. But it's just so similar and not as good.
Yeah. Mm.
I liked what I saw. I remember seeing like the initial, I don't know if it was an announced trailer or something, but a while ago. And then I know the game released, and I think it was on sale digitally a couple of weeks ago on PSN for like $13. And I almost picked it up, but neglected to.
I feel like it's good. Maybe it's good. If I played this like next year, I might really like it.
Okay. Well,
Miles also doesn't like getting stuck in games, and he gets stuck when he's playing Little Nightmares.
Oh, you should like, tell my secrets.
Well, I think like you're really hard on games that you struggle with. So.
Like, okay. Well, I mean, that's. I mean, I'm interested in the game. I like the visual style, but I will probably give it a little time because I really feel like that's one that might end up heavily discounted or even one of those free games.
Yeah.
I feel like that could end up there at some point.
Likely. Okay.
Sweet.
All right, moving on to the side quest. Everybody's just going to fucking leave me hanging on that.
Well, we don't.
I thought it was going to be a spontaneous thing.
No, we don't have that.
We do. We have it right now. We're doing it right now.
Okay.
Side quest.
It's okay. We'll edit all of that out. It's fine. Yeah, don't worry about it. Fine. So I played some GTA Liberty Titty Stories for the PSP. And, you know, I have a PSP, and I had a trip coming, and just the game I grabbed, honestly, you know.
First one on the shelf.
But, you know, I really just enjoy being back in that real old school GTA city and playing some fresh mission. Playing some fresh missions around the titty stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm having a decent time with it. I'm probably, I don't know, 30% through.
Okay.
But
do you think you'll stick with it, or is that just a trip thing?
If I have another trip, I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll do it.
All right.
Yeah. And then Walking Dead Nude Frontier. Okay.
Oh, gotcha!
Yeah. I haven't played any of it yet, but
it's there.
It's
you planned a side quest on it.
Yeah, well, I was hoping to get a little bit in before the show, but I was a little busy.
Idiot.
A little busy in the titties. Titty Idiot. Stories.
I was busy in the titties. All right, interesting. So I side quested on a few things. Now, since the last podcast, there was a Lawbreakers beta for PlayStation 4. If you're not familiar with the game and you're interested in arena shooters, then check it out. It is from game designer Cliff Bleszinski, who probably needs no introduction to most people.
Although he does need to check his bar out down there. It might be a little bit of roach.
Might be roach.
Off kilter.
Cliff.
Yep.
But, you know, some people like him, some people hate him. I respect him, and perfectly fine with him being a bit douchey at times or cocky, whatever. I don't care. Anyway, this game's pretty fun. It's low or no grav, fast-paced arena shooter with objective play. It's not just KD, at least so far in the beta. That's the way it was. So you had different things you had to do against the other team. 9 different classes, 2 different teams, and I enjoyed it. It was very fast, but I sort of found my footing in it from time to time and scored some decent points. You can definitely tell it borrows from other games within the genre. A little Overwatch here, a little Quake there, but you know, nothing wrong with that. So that's over, so I'm not really doing that anymore. Played very little Overwatch in the last few weeks, or maybe even 3 weeks, but you know, that's about it. Enter the Bung.
What is that? That sounds gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I took some liberties there with the sabotage.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, a little bit. But Enter the Gungeon, it's a roguelike pixel twin stick shooter, not terribly unlike Nuclear Throne, if you've ever played that or heard of it.
I have heard of it.
Pretty fun. And dabbled a little bit in the titness.
What is it with you with tits, man?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I didn't do that.
I changed the mold to tits.
So poly tits.
Poly tits. Exactly.
Like
so,
a cat.
Yeah, playing that one with my wife. She's not big into games, but she likes puzzles.
She loves the titness.
Oh, she loves the titness.
Yeah, what's up with that? That's funny.
But anyway, that's where I've been. Side question. And I guess I could technically put Final Fantasy 15 in there for a minute. But yeah, that's
it. Yeah, well, technically, yeah. Miles, what's what you been doing?
What you got, Miles?
I've been, you know, handling a bit of the overcrotch.
No! Oh!
Played a tiny bit of the overcrotch. not too much, just for the loot boxes. And then I also started playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Titties!
Yeah, there it is.
Mutants in my nana!
Yeah, mutants in your nana. She should get that checked out.
My poor nana. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutants in Manhattan is the name of the game. And I've been playing with my friend Fraser from YouTube channel PPG and a friend Will, who is Pam's boyfriend.
Will.
Yeah.
So we've been working on that. I'm Michelangelo because out of the three of us, I was the party dude.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
And yeah, 100%.
Cowabunga.
And then we've been working on Super Mario Brothers 3 on the NES Classic on our channel, Flock Nerds.
Yep, right. That's your channel.
That's your channel.
Mutants in Manhattan. I actually played through that recently with a buddy of mine, and I enjoyed it quite a bit, so I'm glad you're having fun with that.
Now, Super Mario Brothers 3, it's another great one. It's pinnacle of Mario Bros. Games, in my opinion. Pinnacle.
Oh, mine too. Mm. I like it. Miles does not. Oh. So that's exciting.
Idiot. I did a top 100 list and it didn't make it.
Whoa.
Idiot. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy, right?
Oh, was it just top 100 games, not Mario?
It's number 2 on my list.
Oh, wow.
So.
Uh-oh.
But we're still together, so it's okay.
Okay. All right. And, Catherine, what you been questioning on?
So, the Super Mario Brothers 3, mm-hmm. Which we're doing on the NES Classic, and I love that little thing. That
nice.
The NES Classic is nice. It's fun. But I guess we're switching to RetroPie soon. Yeah. I've been playing a little bit of Overwatch, but I like watching Miles play because he's better than I am, so I kind of feel like if I play, we won't win and we won't get loot boxes and stuff. So, but
it used to be more fun Overwatch. Here we go. We had more friends.
Here we go.
Oh, oops.
That's when the game was a lot better.
Trigger word. Trigger.
And I've been playing a couple games just on my phone.
Okay.
Oh boy. This one more dick.
Just one more?
Just one more.
On your phone?
On my phone. It's actually one more brick.
Oh, and that makes more sense.
It's kind of like, I guess maybe kind of like an Arkanoid type game, you know, where you, this is funny, because you have to like bounce balls off the walls. So maybe it is one more dick.
Yeah.
Just that type of game where you just have to, every level you get one more ball and one more things you have to knock off the screen.
Yeah. Know all about that.
And then the other one I'm playing,
Oh, no, go ahead. Just a bad joke from
Polykill. You can make a joke.
No, this is okay.
And then the other one is Adventure Capitalist.
Sounds like the funnest game.
Huh?
It sounds like the funnest game I could imagine.
I wanted to sabotage myself and call it Adventure Capitalist. It is... Did you ever play... Most likely not. Cookie Clicker?
No.
This is not ringing a bell.
It is... Oh, it was a weird thing that happened on the internet for a little while, but it is just... It's a perpetual motion kind of game.
Just click on cookies.
You click a cookie.
Sounds good.
And then you just keep clicking the cookie. But then once you get enough cookies, you can make it so that one click is worth two clicks.
Hmm.
So now you've just doubled your production. So Adventure Capitalist is very similar to that. And I don't have the right mentality for these games because I will just like stare at my phone and click things for it's yeah, I wasted a lot of time. It's the reason why I didn't get my Pentakill is because I started playing Adventure Capitalist.
You've told me so many amazing things about this game, though. Like, Adventure Capitalist, you can eventually click so much that you earn somebody who clicks for you.
You hire a manager.
Yeah.
And so, and then you start Capital Adventures on the moon, and I unlocked Mars, so now I can unlock Capital Adventures on Mars.
And do you hire Martians to do, like,
I think you bring people with you, and they do. I haven't done the Mars one yet.
You get to Mars, and you make me a sweater.
I'll just say that things are a lot slower on the moon. I didn't know that.
Less,
I don't know if that's...
Less gravity. Makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, that's what I played.
Cool. Well, sounds like we're all pretty busy with games, and Catherine's got one more dick. Miles has got Mutants in His Nana. Should get that checked out.
Yeah.
So everybody's having fun. I think we're going to be wrapping up the episode here, but we do have a new segment that we're going to... The Flock episode is going to have a brand new segment on it.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
For the premiere.
Yeah, the premiere of the Just Beat It segment, where we share everybody's Just Beat It's. Everybody just be a tit.
Yep.
with listeners. So we'll run through them real quick. Everybody that hashtag just beat it. Hokey Briz beat The Walking Dead New Frontier. Mrs. Q Dog got a polykill. She beat Final Fantasy IV and the first Portal.
Portal, yeah.
P1 from the Cartridge Club beat, I guess it's Wonder Boy the Dragon Trap, but he beat it as Wonder Girl on the Switch.
All right.
And Derek beat Portal as well. So those are the folks that use the Just Beat It hashtag. If you use the Just Beat It hashtag, we'll call you out here on the episode.
Yeah.
And let the good folks at home know that you're a real boy or girl, and you're good at video games.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So does that pretty much do it, everybody? Has that been a show? Has that been an ep?
That's been an ep and a half.
It has. It's literally been quite...
I didn't mean that.
It has been quite a show, though. I've enjoyed having the Flock on.
It's been amazing.
Yeah. Fun folk. Will we do it again sometime?
We'll do it again sometime, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
You don't have us. I'm sorry we've been over.
No,
it's fine. This is not nearly our longest episode.
When we asked, did you guys just hesitate and look at each other like, I don't know, just say yes, we're on
Miles,
air.
Remind us to cut out that part of the video before we send it over.
Too late.
Perfect.
We know. Well,
we had a ton of fun, and we really appreciate that you invited us.
Absolutely.
Anytime, guys. All right, well, that's been our show. That's been episode 45 of the Polykill Podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Polykill, and please follow the Flock of Nerds. How can people follow you guys?
Where do they find you?
On Twitter, we're just at Flock of Nerds. On YouTube, we're just YouTube.com/Flock of Nerds.
YouTube.com/Flock of Nerds.
Well, yeah. Or you could just search Flock of Nerds.
But
just search Flock
work.
Of Nerds. It will probably come up.
Cool. And we could also find you on thecartridgeclub.org. That's short for organism, right, Jake?
Orgasm.
Oh, it could be orgasm. You're right. You can find us there as well as the Flock of Nerds on the Cartridge Club. We have our own forums there where you can reach out and talk to us. If you have any questions for the Flock or you want to get to know them a little bit better, listen to the podcast, talk to them on the forum, talk to them on YouTube, talk to them on Twitter. Doesn't matter. They like it. I've been at Trav Plays Games.
I've been at the McAxel.
Rate us on iTunes, polykill.com. Reach out to us at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Peace.